Now tonight, we're going to go on a verse of scripture that was actually taught on during the missions conference, but there was something about that verse of scripture that really, Randy and I have talked about this, really struck me, and that's every time I read it, it's got me. The passage is in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And this passage of scripture, you know, Solomon, when he writes, sometimes he'll say something in one verse, and in the same verse he'll say something else, and those things seem to be totally disjointed. And there's a piece of this that just forever has not made sense to me. And I asked y'all to pray this afternoon, which, and some of you did, because you mentioned that to me, and I think by now the Lord has given us what he wants us to see out of this passage of scripture, and I'm delighted for that. Men can make up anything they want to about this passage of scripture, and just because I wanted to study it out, I did read a lot of what men had to say about it, and I'm telling you, man, it's all over the board. And the Lord's not like that. I mean, there was something in Solomon's mind when he wrote this. There was something the Holy Spirit wanted us to know about what he wrote in this passage of scripture. And so let's read it, and let's learn it, and hope that then God can use it in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. This is one block of scripture that all seems to fit together as a common thought. And truly, there is a common thread running through this passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, begin with verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good, or be alike good. Now, years ago, the Bible that I have on my desk was the one that I preached on out of up here, and because I'd used it a lot, it was falling to pieces, and so now I use it in there in the office for the radio, and I was praying that the Lord would find another Bible exactly like that one that I could use, because I knew where everything was located on the page. You ever do that? I can't remember the chapter verse, but I know it's right. Oh, yeah, there it is right there. So I wanted to, but the Bible that I have is out of print, and so I couldn't find one, and Maureen knew I was praying about that, so she'd been praying as well. And it turns out years ago I got to help a fellow named John Channer who liked my Bible, so he got one, and he didn't like it. And when he found out that I needed one, then Maureen was able to get it from him. And she gave it to me. I have written here in the flyleaf, given to me by John Channer as an answer to nearly a year of prayer for a Bible similar to my old, worn-out, tattered Bible, hand-delivered by Maureen, at that time, Hollinsworth, at the Wednesday night service on September 25th, 2002 at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. So I've always appreciated that. Well, John Channer had a chance to put some notes in here before he gave it to me. So he has a question mark by verse 1, and a question mark by verse 2, and he underlines the part that says, if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And he wrote, profound. Which means I don't have a clue. Which is the case with most of us. You know, you look at that stuff there in verse 3, and you think, what in the world is that doing in the middle, nestled down here in the middle of these other verses? Some of these verses without that make perfect sense. And so with that profound thought, let's go to the Lord in prayer and see if we can't figure out what he's talking about here. Father, we sure thank you today for the opportunity to be together again. It's been a delightful day, and the Lord, we thank you so much for the simplicity of your word and the truth of your words. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Cause us by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit within us to be able to preach these words and teach these words in such a way, Father, that you accomplish what you want done here today. And we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so we'll dive right into the passage of Scripture. Now, when Jeff Gross was here, he taught on this, and he taught on this about putting out the Word of God. I said, well, that was a very good lesson. It really was. I went back through here, and of course, while he was teaching, I'd look at that verse, and I'd say, okay, now what is that tree all about right there? You know, and I'd look at that tree again. So let's see. I'm going to title this lesson, Get It Out of Your Hands. That's the title of this lesson. Get it out of your hands. There's a common thread in these verses, and it deals with one topic that's manifested in two ways. There's something in your hands, and it's either something to eat, which is bread, or something that you can plant that yields something to eat, which is seed. And you've got to get it out of your hands for it to do any good for you and for others. You can't keep it. If you give it away, it's likely to prosper. At a minimum, it's going to help the person you gave it to. And if you plant it, it's likely to produce a harvest that you can reap and then have more to eat. But either way, you got to get it out of your hands for it to do any good. And if it is something that you sow and reap, then you can expect to reap more than you sowed. And each case, you don't know exactly how God is going to use it and bless it, but you know this, He will. All right, look at it with that thought in mind. Look at it again. First of all, He says in verses 1 and 2, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. He said, get it out of your hand. You got some bread? Get rid of it. Why? Because after a little while, doesn't bread go stale? What good is it to you to have all the bread that Mrs. Baird made this week? You say, oh boy, I'm the richest man. I got all the bread. But to what good? You can only eat so much of it. And Paul said, having food and raiment, therewith to be content. So you got some bread. He says, put it out there. And get it into the hands of some other people that need it. Because you don't know what evil is going to be upon the earth. And when he says that, when he says you don't know what evil is going to be upon the earth, that is for the person to whom you give it, but also to you. In other words, we have this philosophy in our economy, and I don't say that it's a bad philosophy, but it is if it predominates in your thinking. And that is you got to save it so you can have it in the event of a rainy day. Solomon says you want to protect yourself in a rainy day, you got to be taking care of some folks now. Okay, so get it out there. And he says here in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And then he goes in verse 6, he says, in the morning sow thy seed. What he's telling you is that you also have to put it in the ground. And look what he says in verse 5 then, thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. Can anybody tell anybody else here the way of the Spirit of God? No. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he was explaining to him, and he says, you must be born again, and Nicodemus is still looking at him, kind of weird, the Lord said, the wind bloweth, right? You know not where it listeth. Look at the passage of Scripture. It'd be easier than me trying to butcher it by quoting it incorrectly. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, he says here in John chapter 3, he tells about being born again. He says in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's true. If you're here tonight, you're not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? All he could see was the natural birth. And the Lord said, no. He says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, must be born again. So there's a spiritual birth, and he explains in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to explain any more than what you have seen in the Bible about how the Spirit of God does that work. Well, anything He's revealed to you in the Word of God, you can understand. But beyond that, you're not going to tie the Spirit of God down. You're not going to make him work the way you want him to work. A man might say, well, the Spirit of God is going to bring people, so I'm going to go over to some foreign soil and I'm going to pray and the Spirit of God is going to move and thousands of people are going to get saved. You have no control over that whatsoever. Here or there. Is that right? You have no control over that. All right, so back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In verse 5, he says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Explain that to me. I mean, I know you can see it visibly now. They can take the sonogram, right, and show you all this other stuff like that. But explain that. Explain to me this. How is it that an egg is fertilized and then begins cellular division that then, and I know people can talk about DNA and chromosomes and they got a lot of that stuff down, but explain to me how that thing happens like that every time. And those bones start forming out of liquid and lungs are formed and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you, you and I'd be talking for a long time before you could help me understand exactly how that happens. Well, and so that's what he says. That's what he says, Franz. He said, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. God's in charge of that stuff. You ever planted a garden? Oh, man, I know it's going to be a good day. I read the Farmer's Almanac. Everything's going to be fantastic this year. Put all those seeds in there and get a punk garden. And you say, how'd that happen? And the next year, everything is all wrong. You put all those seeds down in there, it comes up, and you got this great garden. You can anticipate, but you can't make it happen. I watched a guy one time and he planted a whole field and he sowed that thing with Klein grass. He had more grass growing over there and he was so happy. He was thinking about all those big deer that were going to come in there and all those quail that are going to be inside of that stuff. And I mean, one morning he woke up and there wasn't anything but dirt out there. Those army worms came in there that night. I cleaned him out, man. Cleaned him out. You're not going to figure that stuff out. You cannot control those things that are in the hand of God. You can't. Now, if a man says, those fellas that had 2 talents and 5 talents and 1 talent, he says, you're an austere man. You reap where you don't sow, and you sow where you didn't reap, and all that other kind of stuff. He said, I decided just not even going to put it in there. I wasn't even going to play that game because of the way you run things. And the Lord said, that was dumb, foolish servant. Take the pound away from him and cast him into outer darkness. Just because you can't figure out how God doesn't do it or does do it doesn't mean you don't participate. He says, if you got that bread, put it out there, and if you got that seed, put it in the ground and let the thing go. And so that's a principle, see? That is a principle that goes. Now, look how the principle goes, because you cannot control it. Jacob goes down to Abimelech, running from a famine, just like his father Abraham had done. Isaac goes down to Abimelech in Gerar, running away from a famine, just like Abraham did. Lied about the wife situation, everything the same. In 1 year, he produces 100-fold. How in the world did he do that? Way God is. He says, put that seed in good ground and it'll produce some 30, some 60, and some 100. And you say, bless God, I'm going to be 100-fold Christian. You're going to be whatever God will allow you to be. And you may be 30, or you may be 60, or you may be 100. You're not in control of that. All he said for you to do, see, is get some good soil. He said, put it out there. He said, sow it and leave the rest to me. Now, in verse 3, he has some natural observations. And that's where this thing with the clouds and the tree come in. And the natural observations on this principle are this. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Now, wait a minute. I know that's true. Have you ever looked up there and seen... You go get your umbrella, right? Because you're fixing to get wet. If those clouds are full of rain, anywhere but South Texas in the middle of a drought, they're going to dump on you. natural observation. Another natural observation. If a tree falls toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. I was out at the ranch the other day and drove down to the river bottom, and there's a tree outside that all those trees that are there, they're lying down there. And I told Lizzie, I said, when I was in my 20s, so we're talking 30 more years ago, I laid down behind that tree and took a nap waiting on the deer to come out and shot a deer from behind that tree. It's been right there ever since it fell. Just a natural observation. You say, well, what good is it stuck right there? Well, the reason is this. Solomon is using these two natural occurrences that you see and can attest are valid observances, and he compares them to men in this passage of Scripture. And so, for instance, with clouds, just so you understand that he knew what was going on here, keep your finger where you are and go to Proverbs chapter 25. And notice that he also, in writing Proverbs, compared men to clouds. Proverbs chapter 25, and look at verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds. But what kind of clouds are that? And wind without rain. Now, Solomon's not the only one that did this. Jude did it, and so did Peter. They both describe instances where men are like clouds without rain. So it's a common metaphor in the Bible and one with which Solomon was familiar because he used it. All right, so he says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Likewise you. If you're full of bread or full of seed, the thing to do is hoard it. No, any more than a cloud would do it. The rain in the cloud becomes effectual in the earth because it's dumped out of the cloud, and the bread in your hand and the seed in your barn becomes effectual when it's taken out of your hands and put into the hands of God. He's the one that works with it, and you don't know how God works with it, but you got to let him have it. Now, how discriminate is the rain? It's in the hand of God, right? Is it not? Okay, so the rain comes in like this, and he goes, coming into Corpus Christi, let's see, welder, there he's saved. We're going to inch. There's Boyle Bryant's house, an inch. Oh, back over here to Alice, there's Randy Moraine, 3 inches. Back out here to the lake, there's Benny and Mike Yaunt, they get 4 inches. Is that how it works? No. How does it work? It just dumps all over everything on the just and the unjust. Right? That's the way clouds empty themselves. I'm sitting here, I don't want to get ahead of the message, but I got to remember that thought. Don't want to forget that. But I don't want to spoil it either. All right, see, okay, I got that thing on clouds. What about the trees? Well, trees are also metaphors for men. There was a man that was blind, right? Jesus Christ made clay and put that on his eyes like that. He said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. You say, well, what? Yeah, but that was in Jesus' time. What would Solomon know about that? Well, that Old Testament is loaded with metaphors between men and trees. That's a very common metaphor. I'll give you one. Look in Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Who writes Psalms? Most of them, not all of them. David. Solomon, being the wisest man in the world, would have known this. Psalm 1, verse 1, blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season, and so forth. When Gideon died, and Abimelech killed all of Gideon's children so he could be the ruler. He got all but one. And that young boy said, the trees went to the other trees and said to the grape, to the vine tree, will you be ruler over us? Went to the fig tree, will you be ruler over us? went to the bramble. Will you be ruler over us? There's the likeness of a cedar tree falling when the Antichrist goes down. I mean, on and on and on. You see these metaphors. All right, so if men are like trees, and he says here, if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. You know what the expression is when you consider sowing and when you consider giving something you have? If it's going to do you any good, you've got to do it in your lifetime. You see, look again when he says in verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days, if you do it in your lifetime, because you've got to still be alive to see it. Give a portion to 7 and 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. How many people wait until their estate settles to take care of their distribution? And it won't do you any good in your lifetime, because once that tree falls, wherever it falls, whichever way it falls, that's where it's going to be. When my father died, my father was politically active in that he contributed, and he knew various legislators, and had to, being in the ranching business and oil and gas and stuff like that, there were some things that had to be done. And one of those men, when my father died, made this statement that was published in the newspaper. A great tree has fallen in the forest today. That's what he said about my dad. And I appreciated that. That was very complimentary, very kind thing for him to say. And you know something? I went to Victoria the same day that I got the news my father died, the same day that he did die. And that was a Wednesday. On Saturday, we had his funeral. And we buried him in the cemetery there in Victoria. And you know something? I've been back by there. We can all get reloaded up and get in the van. Some of us, we can all drive over there. And you know what? He's going to be still right where he was when we planted him 15 years ago. Now, my father was a very generous man, very community active man, and also very generous with his church. And since his death, another fellow that was a good friend of his raised some money, and they built a performing arts, like a theater in Victoria, and it's called the Leo J. Welder Theater of Performing Arts. And that's a great compliment. But you drive 2 miles from there to that graveyard, and he is still lying right where he was when we buried him 15 years ago. It didn't affect his position at all, and it won't. If these things are going to have to happen and be effective, you can't wait till you kick the bucket and say, now I'll let go of it. Too late then to do you any good. Happens in your lifetime. And that's the hard part. My 40th high school reunion is this year, and they send a questionnaire out, and what's the name of your children and what's the name of this and that? Just making sure all the information is right. Last question. Have you named Macaulay School in your estate plans? Look, they don't care if you give it when you're alive or you're dead. They just want the money. But this principle, listen, and that's all fine and well, but listen, the principle that he's writing about in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is a principle that is only effectual in your lifetime. Casting your bread on the waters and giving a portion to 7 and 8, for any evil day that you might be expecting, or sowing your seed in inclement weather, hoping for a harvest in your lifetime, is something you're going to have to do before you hit the ground, if it's going to do you any good. Now, do you understand the principle? Is the passage clear. Let's look at one other piece of it, just so we make sure we have two other pieces of it, make sure we have a clear handle on the passage, and then let's go in and make some applications. Verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You will never find the right set of circumstances for sowing seed if you're waiting on the perfect day. One day the guy goes out there and he says, well, I would sow today, but there's not enough wind to scatter the seed, so it's all going to fall where I put it. The next day he says, well, that's too windy today. If I throw it out there, it's going to go all over the place and I won't have it where I want it to go. So he wakes up the next day and he says, well, this isn't right. Now it's blowing from the north and I need it to blow from the south. And the next day he gets up and he goes, well, it's blowing from the south, but it's supposed to change halfway through the deal. The guy never finds the ideal circumstances for doing. And you know what the Lord says? Forget all that nonsense. Just put it out there. So what if you get a little extra over onto the next guy's deal? So what if it all falls in more or less in one spot and not all over the place? Just get out there and sow. He says, well, if a guy regards the clouds, he's not going to reap. He looks up there and says, you know, it could rain today. It's cloudy out there. And the next day he goes, you know, it could rain tomorrow too. And the next thing you know, he's missed his window of opportunity and his crop rotted in the field. You cannot, listen, who's in charge of the clouds? Who's in charge of the wind? He says, put that stuff out there and let me deal with it. I like to fish in an ideal circumstance. I hadn't found an ideal fishing day yet. There's always something that's a little difficult about the day. But if you're going to catch fish, eventually you're going to have to get in the boat and go. In verse 6, he says, in the morning sow thy seed. That's one thing you do. And in the evening withhold not thine hand. He's not talking about sowing. He's not talking about sowing in the morning and sowing in the evening. He says, in the morning sow thy seed. That's what verse 4 is about. But he says, in the evening withhold not thy hand. That's what verse 1 and 2 are about. So he says, put some in the ground and put some out there to your neighbor. If you want to see a cross-reference on that, look in Proverbs chapter 3 and look at verse 27. Proverbs chapter 3 and look at verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Withhold not thine hand. I mean, in the evening, by that time, you've already made your bread out of the seed you had and baked it up like that. You got an extra loaf. Got somebody that has a need. Give them the loaf. Tomorrow's a new day, right? So he says there in Ecclesiastes 11:6, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether she'll prosper. Either this, that is the sowing, will the sowing prosper? Well, he says you don't know. Thou knowest not. Will the sowing prosper? It should in ordinary circumstances, but listen, if God sends bugs in there. One old fella got saved. He got so excited, bless God, they told him about a camp meeting, and off he went. He got a phone call while he was down there on the camp meeting. Locusts have come in, and they're destroying your wheat crop. And he said, if God wants to feed his locust with his son's wheat, then let him have it. I'm staying here for the preaching. You're not in control of that. You sow it hoping to reap, but you could get flooded out. You may be like these farmers here several years ago. They planted and never got a rain, and it didn't come up. So you don't know if it's going to prosper, but you think it will, and it surely will if God puts his hand on it. So he says, you don't know. Well, you don't know whether that's going to prosper or whether this will prosper or that. What is that? Giving it when you withhold not your hand. Why? Because God has a principle. I'm going to see it work here, that when you put it in the hand of somebody else in the name of the Lord, God can use it to take care of you at a time when you have a need. So he says, thou knowest not whether she'll prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. That'd be a home run. You put it in the ground and it comes up, and you put it in somebody else's hand and that returns to you. Now you got double. You see the principle? Now let's look in the Bible and see to what this principle applies as long as we understand it. And you're going to see here now that it applies to three things. You know, I like to outline things, and you're sitting here scratching your head going, what's the outline? As long as we're all together, Are we all together? This means we are. This means I don't have a clue. What am I doing here? Yeah. Huh? This thing, this principle works and applies to seed and bread, which is in the context. It applies to money. What do you call money? Bread. Don't you? Who's the breadwinner in your home? And it applies, listen, like Brother Jeff Gross applied it the other day, to the words of God. Let's look at them. All right, first of all, seed and bread. That's what the context is in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Go over with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. See if this thing applies. He says, cast your bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion unto seven and unto eight, for thou knowest not what evil may be, what did he say, befall thee, or what evil shall be upon the earth. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. What evil was on the earth in 1 Kings chapter 17? Well, Elijah, in verse 1, the Tishbite, I've heard of overbites and underbites, he was a Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He called for a 3.5-year drought. That's pretty bad. We get fussing pretty hard when it's an 8-month drought. All right. Time goes, and the food's gone. Verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, oh, by the way, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Give a portion to Elijah. Okay. For thus saith the God of Israel, verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Do you really believe that? Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. How'd she do that? She took a portion and gave it. And the Lord took care of her in the evil day upon the earth. That's the principle. That's the principle. That took a lot of faith. I mean, she's going to die anyway, right? So she, well, that last chance here. I mean, I eat it, he eats it, who cares? Here, take it. But it still took a lot of faith to believe that God every morning was going to have enough meal in that barrel and enough cruse in that oil or in that cruse to feed her. And he did it. Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And look at verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Now this is a parable, but it's spoken by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not a liar. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Tell me something about the United States of America. As it concerns that word, are we covetous? You know, they're going to do or have done, I've lost track of it, a public offering on Facebook, and everybody that's involved with that as an employee or as a founder of the company, they're all going to make billions of dollars on that. Have they done? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so, and you say, wow, that's an unbelievable thing. You know where the money is in that deal? Advertising. And you know what the advertising is about? Getting you to buy something else you don't need at some sort of a price that you think is good from me so I can make your money. That's all it is. We're sitting here, you know, Christmas time is coming around. Cabela's catalog started showing up, man, every week, boy. Big discount here, free shipping there. I'm flipping through there, and of course, I like everything I see on every page. But I'm like, I don't need this stuff. And they all went in the recycle bin. Why? Those things are, they prey upon a covetous people. Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I got more things than you do, see? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. All right, based on Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, when his land brings forth plentifully, what should he do? Sow some of it and give some of it away. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. That ain't going to work because it's not going into the hand of the Lord. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, smoke a cigar, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, your tree is fixing to fall. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, not rich toward God. He doesn't make that provision to us for us to hoard it. And one day your tree is going to fall. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 38. Jesus Christ gave you this verse of Scripture, and it's always based on that same principle. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, clouds empty themselves of their rain, and it should be given unto you. Isn't that an amazing process? But the cloud comes over here, dumps all that rain, and in essence goes back out to sea and loads itself up again. That's the cycle of life. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And all he's telling you is, if you have five extra loaves of bread sitting in there, you ought to give a portion of 7, 8, 9, 10, how much ever, because the Lord will be sure to make the provision again. See the principle? The prosperity preaching that you hear today is all jacked up and wrong. It is, I'm going to do this so I can get a bigger house and a bigger barn and a bigger Cadillac. And God says, all I want to do is just keep the thing in circulation, having food and raiment therewith to be content. Put it in the ground, it yields a harvest. Put it in my hand for the sake of other people, and it'll take care of you when you need it. That's all. It's a simple little procedure. That's the seed and bread. Let's look at the money. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Our guests are here today. Say, oh, bless God, it's a Baptist church. I knew they're going to be preaching on money today. No, we're actually preaching on a principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 5. Aren't you glad we went through an entire missions conference and didn't have one preaching on 2 Corinthians 8 or 2 Corinthians chapter 9? And praise the Lord. Me too. So I give it to you today. No. Only to demonstrate the principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 5. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, a gift that they're given to the poor saints back in Jerusalem, whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now watch the principle. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. There's the principle. And it relates directly to what Solomon taught us in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Ephesians 4:28. Watch it. Here's the principle. But rather let him labor. There he is. He's sowing. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There's the principle. You know why the welfare doesn't work in this country? Because it dead ends in a slothful mouth that never turns around and releases what it gets. That's why it doesn't work. It's a bad system. I realize that there are people that have had to rely upon it at some point in their lives. Listen, I appreciate the fact that we can take care of somebody in a short period of time when they're in trouble. I understand that. But that mentality is, I just keep being the sponge that receives the bounty all the time. That's not the intention. When Egypt went into that horrible famine and they came out of that famine, everybody started putting it back into the ground again and started producing it again, and a certain portion of it went back to Egypt, but the rest of it stayed with the family to do this very thing. Welfare doesn't create that. Instead, here's what should happen. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And verse 41. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. This, understanding this principle and what the Lord does with it, helps you to understand now why this woman was able to do what she did in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor cloud, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, just a little cloud. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow, this poor little cloud, hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She emptied herself, just like the clouds do. See, how could she do it? Because she understood the principle. I got two mites. That's not going to buy me enough to make it to the end of the week. I'm going to put it in the hand of the Lord, let him do what he wants to with it, and I believe I'll be eating through the end of the month. Do you see the principle? That's how come she was able to do it. All right, look at it now in the same principle. You've seen it with the seed and the bread. You've seen it with money. Now watch it with the Word of God, which really should pertain to us in great degree. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Once you see the principle, then you see how it applies. Have you ever heard the word miser? What is that? Have you heard the word misery? It's a guy that doesn't understand the plan. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 3, he spake unto them many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Okay. Didn't he say, don't worry about the wind, don't worry about the clouds? Cast your bread on the waters. Watch this. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Do you think he intended to sow them there? Not really, but hey, he's got to sow the field, and some of it's just going to go over there. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth. You know, some fields have, you ever see these fields here? There's some caliche that was used for some pipelines. When they plant out there, you know, I'm sure they try to avoid that. Some of that stuff gets on there, stony places. They had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know what? You can't get that seed into that good ground without getting some in the thorns and some in the stony ground, some by the wayside. You look at that missionary board out there, you say, are every one of those guys doing as very best they possibly can? Not real sure about that. We're just sticking as much of it as we can in their hands, sowing it out there everywhere they can, and trusting God to do something with it. You just can't always count on the most ideal circumstances. There are actually pastors and churches today that have 10-page questionnaires. They ask missionaries about every kind of thing, trying to make sure they got a good horse running the race. You know what? You can't always be sure about that. Do the best you can. Pray over it. Be sure you're doing what God wants you to do about it. Sometimes you just got to put that seed out there and let God do something with it. Because some of it will get into the good ground. So you sow that thing. And then, you know, the interpretation of the parable. Just wanted you to see that. Look at Isaiah 55. We've talked about waters, and we've talked about sowing seed, and we've talked about all these things. Watch the connection to all this bread, seed, and Word of God. Is not, you know, Jeff Gross told us the other day, Jesus Christ is the bread of life, right? The Word of God is like bread, and so when you put that thing out, eventually something's going to happen. All right, Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, didn't we read about clouds that emptied themselves of their rain? All right, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, it doesn't come straight back. It waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Those were the two things you read about. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which who pleases. I please, God says, because he's the one that makes the bones grow in the womb, and he's the one that directs the spirit. He's the one that deals with it. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when you think about this thing as far as the Word of God is concerned and sowing the thing, listen, look how the thing goes. You sow locally. How? Well, you got tracts. A bunch of you went to lunch today and left tracts with the waitress that waited on you at the table. You give tracts out to the neighbors and people you see, cashiers and various places like that. And you think, you know what? I just never see anybody come to church by giving out all that we've given out, thousands and thousands of tracts. You don't know what God's doing with that stuff. All you know is this. I'm going to accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. All we got to do is sow it, and sow it, and sow it, and sow it. The Junior Livestock Show, buy Bibles and tracts at doors, in cash, anywhere you go. Stick it out there, and let God do something with it. It'll come back in time. It'll come back in time. So that locally, keep on sowing, and it's fine. And then at the same time, give some of your bread on the waters out across the Pacific Ocean, out across the Atlantic Ocean, out across the Indian Ocean, out across the Gulf of Mexico, down in Mexico, down in India, down in Europe, down in Africa, down in all these places, over there in Israel. And you know what's going to happen? Things are going to come back. You know something? Thank God. But in 20 years of full-time ministry, the churches I've been in, this one and the one in Beeville, were faithful to give to missions, and you guys have been faithful to give to missions, and we have never had to ask anybody for money for anything. And I know why. Because of that principle. Put that bread out there on the water. You'll find it after many days. And you sow that seed, regardless of the wind and the rain, there's going to be a reaping and a harvest. It's a good principle. But you got to do it in your lifetime. You say to yourself, you know, I'm going to get around to that one of these days, but I got to finish out this and that with my business, and then I'll take care of it. Too late. You won't be able to do anything when you're lying in the ground. You do it now, or you don't get it done. Amen. It's a good principle. Father, we're sure thankful today for the opportunity to see that this work whereunto you've called us is prosperous work and affects us in some very serious areas of our lives. That is the stuff with which we eat and work, stuff we spend and save, and the words of God that we preach. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us all to be faithful stewards of the words we've heard today, and help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, that our hearts may be bountiful toward you, trusting you to accomplish what you want to do with what we entrust to your hand according to this principle. And we ask you to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.